There is no place I'd rather be than in His presence. Thank you for joining us today for our weekly devotional thought. And now our host, Essie Johnson.
Welcome to In His Presence. Thank you so much for being with us. Today our scripture passage comes from the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loves us, and by His grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. And this is the NIV version. As I read this passage for today, suddenly out of nowhere, I remembered a story someone had told me some time ago, and he told it to a group of us, and I just want to share it at this time. He woke up early on a Sunday morning, and this young man, who we'll call John just to respect his privacy, went into an absolute panic. He was scared. His house was quiet. Everybody was gone. He was at home alone. What had happened? Fear filled his heart as he wondered, has the Lord returned and I missed it? The preacher had been talking about this, but did it really happen? He looked throughout the house and finally he said he thought to call the church. When somebody answered, he heard the saints in the background singing. He knew those people and how they were seeking to live a life pleasing to God. He felt in his heart if anybody was making it to heaven, it would be the saints in his local congregation. Nope. He hadn't missed it. All was well. He could breathe a sigh of relief. He joined in when we laughed about his experience. But during that brief period of time, there was no humor. There was fear and concern when it seemed Jesus had returned and he had indeed been left behind. The Thessalonians were pretty worried. There were rumors, fueled by, at worst, false teachings or, at best, inaccurate prophets, that the Lord Jesus had returned, and they feared, as John did, that they had been left behind. There was confusion about the Lord's return. The people of God should not attempt to live and work in a spirit of confusion. The Lord wants us to clearly understand what He is saying to us at a given time and what He is saying to us about His return. It is so important to get the facts straight. Paul tells them not to be alarmed about the rumors they have heard. Then, as now, there are those who will misinterpret and misdirect the people of God. Even today, in this season, there are people who are teaching doctrines that have so little to do with the message or the spirit of the Savior, and these doctrines are deceiving a lot of well-intentioned people and confusing many. Paul's words absolutely ring true today in today's world. In Paul's words, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teachings allegedly from us, whether by a prophecy or by word of mouth or by letter asserting that the day of the Lord has already come. The New International Version correctly used the term allegedly from us, using the name of the Lord to teach a doctrine does not mean that the doctrine being taught is automatically the true doctrine and teaching of our Lord and Savior. The necessity of studying and knowing the word for ourselves is so important. We have to study to be approved. We have to be a workman who needeth not be ashamed because we are rightly dividing the word of truth. And just that phrase, rightly dividing the word of truth, lets me know that some people are inaccurately or wrongly dividing the word of truth. They are taking the same truth and they are giving it an interpretation that is not consistent with the teaching of the Lord. We should always measure the teaching against the word. We have to cling to the truth of the word the Lord has given us. After giving those instructions, then Paul begins to spell out some events that will take place before the Lord's return. It would appear that, like my young friend, the people were concerned that the rapture had come and gone and they were left to experience the great tribulation. What will happen? Paul points out in verse 2 that there will be a falling away. Some see it as a great and final rebellion against God, our Creator. Oh, there'll probably be a number of reasons for the falling away, and rebellion against God will probably be one: a loss of faith for others, fear, not wanting to be associated with a persecuted group may well influence others. There will probably be a number of reasons, but the end results will always be the same: falling away from the true teachings of the Lord. We also know, as Paul points out in this scripture, that the Son of Man will be revealed. Many people see this revelation as a system of government that's going to be so corrupt, it will promote evil from its very root. Others, including Daniel and also Paul here, they describe an individual. Daniel speaks of the prince who is to come, and that's in Daniel 9:26. He speaks of the king of fierce countenance, and that's Daniel 8:23, the willful king, Daniel 11:36 through about 45 there. Jesus talks about the one who will come, interesting phrase here, in his own name. John 5:43. In his own name. I am wonderful. I am great. Me. Regardless, there will be a revelation of this evil one who will present himself as a miracle worker, as a great leader, as one that should be adored, and as one that should be praised, and as one that should be worshiped. And this individual will require worship, and every true believer must resist. And word. We are aware of and want to be ready for the Lord's return, but we maintain good hope. We're encouraged, just as Paul wanted the church to be aware of what is to come, but to be encouraged to continue to live a life, honoring Christ in the here and now. Each day we strive to live our lives in a manner that honors the Lord, so that when he does return, he will find us working in his vineyard, and we can be swept up to meet him in the air. Just as there are signs for the seasons, even the seasons of our own lives, there are signs for the second coming. Paul knew that. Sometimes we just need a reminder of what we have been told and what we have been taught. Yes, the Lord is returning, and we should be prepared for his coming. His will not come up on his people unaware, but rather we know what events will unfold even as the word has laid it out. But Paul wanted to inform. He wanted to remind, and he wanted to encourage. He reminded them of the days to come. He informed them of the signs, and lastly, he wanted to encourage them to stand strong in the faith. So then, brothers and sisters, he says in the 15th verse, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. 16th, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. We are aware of and want to be ready for the Lord's return, but we maintain good hope. We're encouraged, just as Paul wanted the church to be aware of what was coming, but be encouraged. Continue to live a life honoring Christ in the here and now. Every day, each day, we strive to live our lives in a manner that honors the Lord, so that when he does return, he will find his people working in the vineyard, and they will be swept up to meet him in the air. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord God, help us to keep our minds and hearts focused on you. Give us wisdom, give us strength to live as your people in this present world, living here and now, but prepared for your return, that we might be able to spend eternity with you. Thank you, Lord, for your peace, for your joy, for your comfort, and for the hope you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed and beautiful week, and join us again next time.
You have been listening to In His Presence, your weekly devotional program sponsored by None Like Him Anywhere.